Job chapter number 1. That thing's loud. Aren't you glad that wasn't on when I was singing? I am. Here in the book of Job, we're looking at a familiar story. In chapter number 1, we're looking at the fact that Satan comes before God and he's looking to mess with somebody. And God says, if you consider my servant Job a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. And God allows Satan to have some power to attack Job. And in verse number 13, we'll begin, and it says, and there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God is fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, boy, I'll tell you what, this guy's having a bad day. Wouldn't take but maybe a few, maybe five, six of these verses to remind us when we think we're having a bad day that Job was having a bad day. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house. And it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped. And said, naked came I out of my mother's womb. Naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I want to talk for just a little bit about tribulation. Now, the book of Job is a picture of the great tribulation for the Jews, but we see the tribulation here that Job is going through. And if you'll turn with me to John chapter 16, John chapter 16. Tribulation is the distresses of life. Severe affliction. It's one thing to go through some problems. It's one thing to go through a little suffering. But the tribulation is a major amount of suffering. It's a severe affliction like we talked about in John 16. 33, Jesus Christ himself said, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So Jesus Christ himself said, ye shall have tribulation. It didn't say maybe. You shall have tribulation. And we do. We have tribulation. We go through some things. But everything has a purpose in God's plan. Job, you look at the book of Job, and I'll tell you, that's probably the best book in the entire Bible to figure out what's going on around you. Even not the details, but the fact that God is in control. And even though Satan's hitting you from every angle sometimes, God's already at the other end of this thing, and he's got a plan that Satan has no idea what's going on in the ultimate end of things. It struck me as funny when I read that today, that the wind that come and tore down those houses, that tore down that house and killed those kids. You know, Satan even has power over the weather when he's allowed to. I mean, a lot of times we'll look out there and we'll see a tornado ripping down through Oklahoma, a tornado alley or something, and massive path of destruction, nothing but rubble behind it for mile, 2.5 miles wide sometimes over there. It gets bad. And we'll think, boy, God's judging that place. Oh, is he? Or maybe Satan's just having a little bit of a heyday over there. But everything has a purpose ultimately. I'm not making light of problems, and I'm not saying we can understand every detail or even anything sometimes. We can't understand a lot of things. But I am saying that there's a purpose and God has a plan. Tribulation can do some things for you, to you, on you, through you. It can torment you. Amen? I remember my dad was sick. I remember watching him the last months of his life and go downhill at that speed, and watching this man that had been a hero of mine, that had been, God had used in such a great way in my life to supply the needs of our family. And I'd watched him, and it was distressing. It was a terrible situation. Something happened in me that I cannot explain. It was more than a mind thing. It was more than a heart thing. Something that strikes at your very soul when you're watching a loved one go through these things. Some things that carry so much pain and so much heaviness that they can't be measured, explained, or even vaguely defined by the human mind. We can't do it. It's something that's an individual thing you go through and you can't explain it. It's something that happens in your very soul where you feel these things. Tribulation can torment you. It can tire you. Heaviness often wear you out. That's why I'm glad we have a Bible. Jesus Christ in John 16 told us we will have tribulation. You shall have tribulation. He told us in Matthew 11:28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And I understand eternally we rest in Christ, and we're going to heaven because of Him. But He'll give you rest and peace in the middle of the storms of life. The tribulation that we shall have, He'll give you rest and peace in. Tribulation can torment you. It can tire you. It can tempt you. It can tempt you to sin. It can tempt you to quit. It can tempt you to just give up. But there's no need. There's no reason. He is worthy to stand on His word and for His purpose. It can try your faith. Tribulation will often expose what you are really trusting in. Not just to others, but to yourself. When you're going through things and where the rubber meets the road is if you're falling apart because there's no answer in the world, then you're not trusting God, you're trusting the world. And it will expose to you. When Abraham took Isaac up to Mount Moriah to sacrifice him, and God said, "Now I know," Abraham learned something about Abraham on that journey. 3 days up there, you think Abraham wasn't looking for a way out? You think Abraham wasn't tempted to say, "You know what, Lord, I quit. I'm going to take my boy and go home"? You think Abraham wasn't about half tempted to say, you know, cry out to God and say, "Can we figure out another way? How about we do it my way instead of your way, God?" But he didn't. Abraham learned something about Abraham in that 3-day journey. And then God knew something about Abraham at the top of the mountain. It'll try your faith. Tribulation will teach you some things. And you know, tribulation works with patience. It'll teach you patience. It'll teach you how to suffer. Say, well, everybody suffers, even the lost world suffers. No, it'll teach you how to suffer and stick with God. The world doesn't have God. On the best day, they're suffering. When everything looks like it's going right, they're suffering. They don't have the Lord. They don't have hope. They don't have help. It'll teach you how to suffer. It'll teach you how to surrender. Tribulation. It'll turn you from whatever you're trusting in to the Lord. See, there's a purpose for the things that happen. And even though the devil has one idea and one plan, just like in the book of Job, God has a better plan. And just like the devil has one idea and one outcome, and it's an outcome of destruction, God has an outcome that's totally different, and it's an outcome of fruitfulness. Tribulation will turn you Job 42, verse 5. After everything Job had went through, he said, I had heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Tribulation will torment you, it will tire you, it will tempt you, it will try your faith, it will teach you some things, it will turn you to God if you stay faithful and just turn to Him, and it will take you to another level of faith. Amen. Interesting though, in Job, God calls him a man that fears God, eschews evil, that's perfect and upright, and yet he was lacking in faith. That's the grace of God. When he looked at Gideon at the threshing floor, Gideon was hiding from the enemy, and God said, oh, mighty man of valor, that's the grace of God. He's given him more credit than he deserves, amen. He gave Job more credit than he actually deserved. And Job gets to the other end of this thing, and Job says, hey, I've heard of you with the hearing of the ears, now I've seen you. Because he took Job to another level. Honestly, you don't even have to get halfway through chapter 1 to realize Job is way above where we are most of the time. Amen? Amen. If we have little blips of where Job is, it's a good thing for us. But Job was living way up here on the faith scale. And God allowed him to go through all this, gets to the other end of it, and takes him to even a higher level of faith. And that's what God wants for us. When we go through the trials, when we go through the turmoils of life, when we go through tribulation, He wants to take you to a higher level. And praise God, He's going to take us to a higher level one of these days, amen. He's taking us out of here. But He wants to grow us through the hard times here. It'll take you to another level of faith. The thing about tribulation is, everything we've listed, the torment, the tiring, the tempting, the trying of your faith, the teaching, the turning you and the taking you to another level. You're saved. It's all temporary. Amen? Think about this. The lost folks, the tribulation, the suffering they go through here is the best they're ever going to have it. But for saved folks, it's just temporary. Just temporary. I think about that often. You know, my dad, I was watching him in his last breath there in the hospital bed holding his hand while he was. That was temporary. We've got it good. Because we know it's temporary. Amen. You know, Job didn't know it was temporary in his situation. And he stuck with God. We know it's temporary. We have every reason to stick with God. We've got a complete Bible. We have every ability through the Word of God, the power of God, by the Spirit of God, to stick with God. Amen. To be strengthened. To make it through times of suffering. They're all temporary. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, if you would. Paul, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are at Achaia, grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. I want to look at three things, and we'll be done for tonight, Lord willing here. from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 3, is the person to turn to. It's the person of Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
Don't go to the world for your answers when the things are coming off the hinges.
Yeah. Amen.
Go to God.
Amen.
He'll give you comfort.
Yeah. Amen.
A good friend of mine, Jerry Hickson, went home to be with the Lord. And it bothers me because he was a good friend. I talk to him every week, sometimes a couple times a week. I'm going to tell you how good the Lord is. On July 22nd, Brother Hickson sent me a text, a message. And he had something he wanted to share with me, and it was called Heavenly Heart Music. And I went back through some of them texts, and I listened to that, and I talked to him about it. I said, that's great. That's peaceful. And he said, yeah, we need more of that. Less than 2 weeks later, he's listening to the real thing.
Amen.
I mean, the Lord just changed everything about what I was thinking about when I He's good. That was for me. From God. God knows exactly what He's doing. He was ready to comfort me before I needed any comfort. But that spoke to me. Less than 2 weeks later, He's listening to the real thing. Amen? Not tainted with human hands or any of that.
Amen.
Not with maybe a little out of tune you could hear there, but the real thing.
Amen.
I think that link he sent me was like 4 hours and 9 minutes. I don't know, 4 hours and some odd, several hours of heavenly heart music. He's got eternal heavenly heart music. Amen?
Amen.
I got to recharge my phone if I want to listen to it for 4 hours.
Amen.
Ain't nothing have to be recharged in heaven, amen.
Right, amen.
The God of all comfort. The person to turn to is the Lord. The purpose for tribulation, look at verse 4. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. The person to turn to is God. The purpose for tribulation is to learn how to minister. Do you know why Jesus Christ came to this earth and went through? And I'm not talking about just salvation. He came through this earth and He suffered so He can know how you suffer.
That's right.
So He can know how I suffer. So He can know how mankind suffers.
That's right.
He knows how you're tempted. He knows how the trials come and the tribulation comes and the desire to quit comes. He knows all those things. He knows what it's like to be tired and hungry and lonely. And He can minister in a way He could never minister before as God, because He came down and He experienced what you experience. And until you experience some things that Christ experienced in your life, you'll never be able to minister the way He wants you to minister to others. Sister Debbie, I'm glad. See, the Lord knows exactly what He's doing. I come in here the last minute and think, you know what, I'm going to flip the prayer meeting around. We're going to do it first. And she mentions being able to talk to her neighbors because she had been through something that her neighbors knew she could find comfort by sitting there on the porch and just talking. What a blessing. Isn't God good? My mom has a couple neighbors. Well, she had a couple neighbors there right across the road, Kevin and Vicky, and they've ever since my mom lived there, they were the husband and wife. They would come over and they'd cut her grass and stuff. She'd try to pay them. They wouldn't pay. So she'd fix them food and take it to them and stuff. And they were just really good folks. And here a couple years ago, Kevin passed away. I mean, these folks were very close. They didn't go anywhere hardly without each other. They were best friends. Amen. And Vicky was really discouraged. And she had told my mom on the phone. She'd called her up and said, you know, my kids were worried about me because they were afraid I was going to commit suicide. She said, because I really was discouraged. She said, all of a sudden I realized, if Carol can live by herself, I can do it. You see, this the little things that God does that we overlook. And my mom gets discouraged being by herself. And now she's encouraged that Vicky's encouraged and they're encouraging each other. The Lord just works that stuff out. He's the God of all comfort. But He uses people, sometimes even lost people, to minister to His people. The person to turn to is God. The purpose for tribulation is to learn how to minister. In 5 through 7 it says, "For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation." Now look back at verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. The person to turn to is God. The reason for tribulation is to learn how to minister. The place to be is in church. Paul's preaching this to the church of God in Corinth. He's not talking to one individual. He's talking to a group of individuals that God has placed together in a local assembly and telling them how to minister to each other. I know I'm talking to people that are here on Wednesday night. I get that. We need to be in church. We need each other. And look, when my dad called me when he was first diagnosed, I was on the way to church. We were in our car, just headed out of the driveway. And he was broken. I had seen my dad broken like once or twice in his entire life. And that was when his dad passed away and when him and my mom got divorced. But he was broken. I went to church. Physically. I remember getting up and walking out at one point to the foyer and walking back in. I was there physically, but I wasn't there. And that happens sometimes. Life is overwhelming sometimes. But look, when you're going through something, and maybe you hit one of those storms where you just don't want to be around anybody and you just want to hide, as soon as you're able, pray and get in church. Hey, I know. Look, I've been hit with the sledgehammer of tribulation. Nothing like Job, but considering I'm not Job, I got hit pretty hard a couple times. Amen. Job's tribulation would have smashed me like a bug and that'd been the end of it. But I understand sometimes you just can't be around people. Sometimes you get to a situation where you don't want to be alone and you don't want to be around anybody. And you know, that's when you need some friends that aren't like Job's. Some friends that'll just say, "Hey, I'm here if you need me. I'm praying for you. We love you." Instead of friends that are going to fix stuff. Because the last thing you need when you don't even know what's going on is somebody else trying to fix it when they don't know what's going on. And the last thing we need to do is try to fix everybody's everything when they don't even know what's going on. And we've only got a little segment of what's happening, and we think we know what's going on sometimes, but the best thing we could do is just shut up, pray, and encourage them that you're praying for them, that you love them. Again, the lost world can't help you. Now, I grant you, God will use them to do things because God can do anything He wants to do except cross His word. But where you need to turn is to God. Where we need to turn is to God. And God often ministers through His people. I'm saying that all to say this. I'm glad you're in church tonight. And when tribulation comes, because in this world ye shall have tribulation, you'll be glad you're in church too. Amen? And the folks that are half in and half out at every church that's trying to preach the truth are going to have it even harder when times of trial and tribulation come. Amen? We need each other. God knows exactly what we need, and God's blessed us with people that are able to minister to us in different circumstances. Amen? We've got people of all ages, all circumstances, different backgrounds, with different abilities to minister in one little church. I say one little church, but we got one big God.
Amen.
Amen. That does not, hear me out, does not make mistakes. Amen. Tribulation can torment you, can tire you, can tempt you, can try your faith, can teach you some things, can turn you to God, can take your faith to another level. It's all temporary. So just hang in there, stick together, unify as a local called out assembly, and we'll weather these storms together. Father, we sure love you. We thank you for the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, you have been so good to us. And Lord, sometimes we look in the rearview mirror to find trust in you. And the truth is, we should be looking forward to trust in you. Help us, strengthen us. Help us to minister one to another. And Lord, help us to stay strong in these crazy last days and to not waver. And Lord, all the Bible believers around the world that are trying to live for you and glorify you and do right by you and your word, strengthen each and every one of us. And Lord, help us to be right in the center of your will and to stay there until you call us home. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.